Good morning to all. It's good to be back in Kansas City. I did not miss your traffic, though, all right? But I love it here. My mom lives up in Lansing. There's a lot of things that I have in our memory of Kansas City and your love and care for us as missionaries. Always never forget your contribution to the work in Manaus and beyond in Brazil. Things are going pretty good at the Campos Salles Church. I'm in contact daily. In fact, it's kind of sometimes a little over the top. The young pastor there that took over the Church of Campos Salles, he WhatsApp'd me. Do you know what WhatsApp is? WhatsApp or whatever it's called? It's a little app on your phone. You can receive photos, videos, and you can call. Well, it's free. Somebody pays for it. I don't know. Maybe our tax money. I don't know. But I get to talk to him every day, and he keeps me posted on everything, and he's been a real blessing to that church. Young man, hard to find a young man that preaches and believes and preaches in the doctrines of grace and is steady. And the Lord gave him a little baby girl, and he is really excited. And you folks had a part in that work. You're all contributed to the ending and the final product there in Campos Salles and that church there. So it's good to be here this morning. Genesis 17, if you would. You know, there the church at Oak Trail Baptist Church, or at Oak Trail Baptist Church in Granbury, I should say, is doing as good as it can. The Lord has allowed us to be there going on 3 years now in September. I can't believe it, but it'll be 3 years in September since we've been back and there. I think we're making headway. The church was basically 3 years without a pastor, and we will be praying for you folks. It's not an easy job or an easy thing to find a pastor in today's world, especially one who'll be true to the scriptures. Very hard to come by, and we'll be praying for you folks as you put the word out, and as word gets out, that you can quickly find a preacher that will come and feed you and care for this church and this ministry here. And we do covet your prayers there at Oak Trail. There's a 60-year span at Oak Trail Baptist Church. Our elderly group, their age is right around 85 and older. And then we have our 17 and 15-year-olds. And in between those 17-year-olds and those the 85-year-olds, there's a sprinkling of maybe four or five others. And I'm included there in the middle. So we have a gap to fill, literally. And so pray that the Lord will give us some young folks that can get interested and busy in the church there at Oak Trail Baptist Church. We have a lot to do. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. I want to use Genesis 17, 1 as a springboard for this morning's thought. Genesis 17:1 says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." And then this is his order to Abraham: "Walk before me, and be thou perfect." All right, I want to take just a few minutes this morning. God introduced himself to Abraham as the Almighty God. Now, I can't go into too much here, or we're not going to be like Sunday school, not get done. Almighty is an amazing word. Almighty leaves nothing to the imagination. It needs no more introduction than Almighty. Almighty is all-encompassing, all-powerful, almighty, everything to everyone everywhere, and it's Almighty. Almighty God. He said, I am Almighty God. And then he turns to Abraham and he says, walk before me. That's interesting because he used the word in Hebrew called panim, and that means literally walk in my sight. Don't get out of my sight. Don't leave my view. In fact, we have a saying in America that I've learned, walk in my face. Get in my face. And that's usually in a negative term, right? If somebody get in your face, that's a bad thing. Well, God told Abraham, get in my face and stay there where I can see you, where you're in my sight. And then he says, and be thou perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty hard thing, to be perfect. The word perfect is tamim. So he said, walk before me, panim. And then he said, be thou perfect, tamim, without spot or blemish. It doesn't take long in the epistles to realize that that is how God wants his church presented to him, without spot or blemish. How are we going to be perfect in the terms laid out by Genesis? How was Abraham going to be perfect or without spot or blemish? Well, it has something to do with walking in God's sight, walking in his presence, being in God's face every day. You know, when I was a little boy, I had a very different upbringing. But my father had a place in the jungle, way up in the middle, in the heart of the Amazon jungle, and up by Colombian Venezuela. I mean, nobody knows where it is. If I say, where were you? Say, where are you from? I say, I'm from Paricatuba. I'm from Paricatuba, across the river from Tapurucuara to Boca do Paraná do Inuishi. That's where I'm from. And I didn't mean anything, and because it's nowhere. I mean, it's just a spot in the middle of nowhere. But Dad had a big place, and you know, the jungle is not as easy to hew a living out of the jungle as we are led to believe sometimes by the media. Very hard, very scarce food. So Dad immediately found out that he was going to have to build a field. He was going to have to plant a garden. And he was going to have to raise some kind of meat source. I mean, meat and fish would come in, but again, it's not as plentiful as thought. And so he raised everything. He raised cattle for a while and had a few heads of cattle, had some sheep, had some goats. Raised rabbits, raised everything, and just about everything he tried to raise didn't work. But I said all that to this. He had a field, and on days he would say, "Come on, let's take a walk." And it was to check the fences or see where the goats were or whatever, for whatever reason. And we would walk the field. I have no idea what I was wearing or if I had shoes on or whatever, but we'd go check on the chickens or on the hogs or on the cattle, whatever it was he was doing. And we would walk for a long time. Sometimes we would talk. I don't remember a thing he said, but I remember we would talk. And he had a habit of whistling, and he'd whistle. And but there was a rule. There was always a rule. He said, don't get out of my sight. Don't get out of my sight. And I remember just being a little guy, and after a long time, I would tire. And he'd be helping me over what was left of the big logs that had been cut down to build the field. And he'd have to help me over some of those because I'd be tired. And finally, when I couldn't walk anymore and we'd walk a long time, he'd set me on his shoulders. Everybody ever do that? Yeah, to your chin. Set it. That was my favorite place. Boy, you get a whole new view, whole new perspective, don't you, from way up there. And a whole new idea. But I remember those walks, but I especially remember Dad saying and telling us always, don't leave my sight. I want you to walk where I can see you. I want you to walk in my face. I want you to be close. You know, this morning we know this very well, that we serve a timeless, an eternal God, and that He has given us a plan. He's given us a, we live in an established plan that He has made for our lives. The psalmist was very clear. He wrote our days down when they weren't yet. And He established our coming and our going, and He's got a plan for us. And everything that has happened from Adam all the way to this day has been on God's timetable. It's on God's time, not ours. And this verse in Genesis is interesting because God has a plan for Abraham. And He says, I want you to walk before me, and I want you to be perfect. And I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I'm the Almighty God. Now, in America, everything is fast. Oh, man, I have come to really resent that, getting to be slower and slower. I'm resenting the fast pace that America forces. You say, well, I'm not. No, you're going to end up falling in line with it, because that is what America's life demands. If you're going to be, if you're going to live in America, you're going to get in. And sooner or later, you'll find yourself racing ahead or falling behind, and that's never good. But I want to point out the first thing God told Abraham. He said, walk. Don't run. Walk. Boy, I remember running. Dad would say, don't run. And I'd always lose a toenail or whatever on a stump or a rock. Don't run. It's walk before me. It's a walk. There's nothing that can be done to either slow down God's plan or to speed it up. And we have a hard time wrapping our heads around that, because we live in a time of speed. For us, time is of essence, isn't it? Time is money. How many? That's America, buddy. Time is money. And you waste time, you're wasting money. And so this whole idea of getting where you're going to go as fast as you can and getting there is really a secular view and idea of life, because that's not the way God ever told His people to live. And you know, we want everything fast. Our computer's got to be fast. My mama said, son, can you take a look at my computer? And I said, Mom, get the trash bag. It was so slow. It was as slow as I am. And that's slow. And we got to have fast. Everything's got to be fast. Our daily commute's got to be fast. Oh, how I despise 70 mile an hour. That's too fast. Nobody needs to be going 70 miles an hour. Nobody. In an aluminum can down a strip of asphalt, nobody needs to be going that fast in a metal can. We have to eat fast foods. We move. Our whole lifestyle revolves around fast, and we run here and there, and you know what? But no matter what we do and how we do it, it doesn't change what God has in store for. We're not going to get there quicker. We're not going to get there a minute late. And we need to be walking in His presence, walking in His face, walking in His sight. I would propose to you that when it comes to God, our lives, are not any more different than Abraham. And Abraham's lessons are many. This afternoon, for a few minutes, I wanted to speak to you on the teachings of Judas Iscariot. And you say, what in the world could Judas teach us? Judas teaches us a lot of things. Judas can teach us many, many things. Abraham, in chapter 17, we picked up Abraham's life about in the middle or a little bit further. And God is telling Abraham, slow down. Slow down. There's some things that have happened before chapter 17 that got Abraham all excited and all worried and in a hurry to get somewhere. And God in chapter 17, he says, I want you to walk in my sight. You're running too far ahead, or you're getting too far behind, or you're getting too far to the right, or you're getting too far to the left. Listen, all of those things are a danger to us. And we can all get there if we're not careful. We can go too far to the left, can't we, as believers? And left, I mean the liberalism and the whatever. And we can go too far to the right. I was thinking about, you know, and I was looking through some of the old conferences that the church has had. And one of them about 8 years ago or 7 years ago, maybe you remembered, it's called The Dangers of Calvinism. Remember that conference? How many of y'all remember that conference? It was here, and boy, those messages were spot on. I think Brother Walker spoke on was John Gill a hyper-Calvinist or something like that, and all of that. Great, but we can't go too far to the right. We can't go too far to the left. We can't go too far forward, and we can't stay too far behind. We've got to walk right where God wants us, in His presence, every day, every day. And it's a walk. It's not a run. Get all that running stuff out of your mind when it comes to God. It's a walk. It's a steady walk with God daily. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, go back there real quick, because nobody's got a walk. Is that clock right? That's clock wrong. It's got to be. But anyways, Genesis chapter 12. You'll notice that is God's call to Abraham, where God says, get thee out of thy country, verse 1, from thy kindred, and unto a land I will show you. So there's the beginning. But look over there in verse 7, if you would. Verse 2. I will make of thee a great, what, nation. Well, how is God going to make Abraham a great nation when he doesn't have any kids? There's the beginning. I mean, it doesn't say anything about kids here, but how is God going to make him a great nation if he doesn't even have any kids? His name, if he's going to have a nation, then he's got to have somebody to propagate his name. And then he goes on, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared. So back in 12, when God separated Abraham from the rest of his lineage, he promised him a seed. He promised him to make him a nation. And as time goes on, you see that Abraham is, and you know this story, you've read it 100 times. He starts to begin to doubt, or he starts to wonder if God is really going to do what he said. In verse 44 of chapter 12, where we're at, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, he'd already gone from Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran. So now Abraham is 75 years old when he leaves Haran and starts headed for the Promised Land. So here's a few years after Genesis 12:2. A few years had gone by, and he's 75 years old. Somewhere in between 75 and 86 years old, Genesis 15:2, it says, and Abraham said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus, and I probably said that wrong. But Here we are a few years later. He's somewhere between 75. He's already left Haran. He was 75 when he left Haran. And somewhere in between those ages, Abraham looks up and says, God, nothing is happening. It's been years now. I'm not getting any younger. We've already left our people behind. We've already left Haran. We're over here and nothing is happening. Everything seems to be moving too slow. I'm not getting anywhere. He began to be anxious about God's promises and God's dealings with him. And Abraham starts to get in a hurry. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. I had to explain that to one of the young kids. He says, Preacher, that means we don't have to be careful for about anything? No, that's that. Don't be full of care. Don't fill yourself with care. Be careful for nothing. There ought to be nothing in this world that ought to fill us with care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, when we get full of care, and we get full of anxiousness, we begin to promote our self-interests. You see, we're no longer in God's face. We're no longer seeing him and under his direct influence. Abraham was running already. He's not walking anymore. He's running ahead. He's getting off somewhere in the peripheral, and he's worried, and he starts to promote his own interests. And when we get anxious, let me ask you a question. When we get anxious, and we're not walking like God told us to walk, in his face, in his presence, how much will God's interest be promoted when we start that? When we get to where we're running ahead of God and not walking with him, we know that we will be doomed to failure. We will inevitably try to solve our own problems in our own way and will not wait on God, just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. That's why it was so important for him to walk in God's sight. And there he could be, quote unquote, without spot or blemish. He could be perfect if he was walking in God's sight. You know, somebody was asking me about the doctrines of grace, and his argument, and the argument was is that this established plan that God has for us leads us to fatalism, and that we become fatalists. I said, well, if you want to call me a fatalist, be my guest. I said, but I'm a busy one. I'm a busy one. I don't sit around and wait for destiny to reach me. We know God has a plan. And God didn't tell Abraham, sit here and let me do it all. I'm going to take care of this. And Abraham, I've got it all planned out. You don't have anything to worry about. I'll take care of that. That's not what God said. He said, walk with me, but make sure you walk in my sight. And that way you will be without spot or blemish. Now, if you go to Genesis 16, verse 1, the Bible says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And here is the beginning of when Abraham begins to pay for his self-reliance. He has run ahead to figure out his life because God is moving too slow. So he runs ahead in verse 16 of that same chapter. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bear Ishmael to Abraham. He's 86 now. See, God told him way back around 75 years old, Abraham, stay with me, walk with me, and you will be without blemish, and you'll be perfect, and be perfect. And it's been, what? Well, 75, 85, it's been 11 years, and God hadn't done anything. Abraham says, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. See, he's left God somewhere else. He's no longer there with, and he's headed in a different direction. God is walking one way, and Abraham has gone another way. And he decides that he is going to solve the problem. And I don't have to tell you who Ishmael's descendants are, do I? The price that Abraham paid and the price that his seed, that Abraham's seed pays to this day for that error is not a small one. There's always a large price to pay, folks, in life when we don't walk before God. There's always a heavy, and it's a price that most of us are not willing to pay or wish we didn't have to pay. And Ishmael today is the wild man described by God. God said he'd be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he'll dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Do you know what that means? It means no matter where the Jews go, no matter what they do, they always have Ishmael right there in his presence. They can't get away from each other. Like a curse. Perpetual curse. Can't get away. A wild, fierce, untamed, not subject to any yoke, impatient. Exactly the opposite of what God told Abraham to be and to do. And that's what Abraham's running. Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, that's 99, by the way. When he's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Listen, Abraham still doesn't have a child. He still doesn't have a seed. He still, the promise of being a great nation is as far off as it was when he was 75. He's 99. And still no child. Still no child. God just tells him to keep walking. Keep walking. 24 years have gone by, and there is no heir, there is no seed, there is no nation. But God isn't on our time schedule. We know that, don't we? He's not on our time schedule. There is no time that God follows except his own providence. And he's not following any earthly program or human agenda. And at the same token, because of that, God is not going to fail. He will not be a minute late or a minute early. Genesis 18:1. And Abram was 86 years old. I'm sorry, verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time. This is 18:10. Lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. God reassured Abraham that he was going to have a child, but still no child. The bottom line is there's no child. There's no seed. And then we jump to Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And if we were to read verse 5, it says, when Abram was 100 years old, 25 years after the first promise, God finally gave him a son. God told Abraham to walk, not run. He said, walk in my sight, walk with me, walk close to me. Let's stay in touch. Let's stay in the same vision You know, one of the great things about those walks with my father, as long as I stayed in his sight, there was time we talked. I can't remember any of the things we said, but I know we talked. It was a time of comfort. And I know for a fact that I stubbed my toes 100 times. I fell off those logs 100 times. I hurt myself with cutting grass, I don't know, countless times. And I can almost be sure that Dad was there to untangle me or to pick me up, because I was in his sight. And you say, well, does that mean that God wouldn't do it if we're not in his sight? No, that it just makes it a whole lot easier. Life becomes so much easier when we're walking in God's sight and we can receive comfort and we're there with him. Abraham walked with God for 25 years without an answer and without any fulfillment of God's plan, promise. There was nothing there, it seemed. Sarah was still barren. The crib was still empty. But had God forgotten anything? Absolutely not. God was waiting on his timing, not Abraham's. It was his plan. Can I tell you that Abraham's walk was a long one? Another thing that Abraham's walk was, it was a difficult walk. Abraham suffered some defeats along the way. Disappointing. In fact, some of the things Abraham did were just downright disappointing. And he was defeated. He was disappointed. And folks, we realize that walking with God does not mean that we always get everything we want in life. Abraham and Sarah tried to rush God's plan by devising their own, and it didn't ruin God's plan. It just hurt them personally. It hurt them personally. During those years, Abraham and Lot parted ways. Abraham's prayer to save the cities of the plains were denied. Abraham had to lie, quote, had to lie to protect his wife from King Abimelech. All of these things happened in those 25 years. And it was a walk that required trust and faith. As believers, folks, this morning, our walk is no different than Abraham's walk. What God told Abraham is what God tells us. Walk in my face. Stay here close and walk. Don't run. Just walk. Walk with me. And sometimes, folks, this sounds kind of strange, but sometimes nothing is a whole lot more than something. See, God was wanting Abram and Sarah to wait on him. And those 25 years, if they listen, nothing would have been better than what they got. Something. It's when nothing is happening that we're forced to trust in God, isn't it? When there's nothing tangible, when there's no proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, when there's silence from God, that's when faith is produced and strengthened. And strengthened. There are so many examples in Scripture, and I'll close, but there's so many examples. I love Scripture because even if we're stuck in the New Testament, the Old Testament is full of the examples of the proofs of what the New Testament is trying to teach us. Oh, the examples of walking with God in the Old Testament are many. And the desire of God that his people, since day one, in the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, his only desire was that they would be able to walk with him. And that's what they did at the evening, at the cool of the evenings. The book of Genesis said God would come down and they would walk together in the garden. That has been God's purpose for us since the beginning. Psalm 81:13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. the lament of God, and I hope you folks know what I mean by that. God is, he's saying, oh, that my people, if my people could just discover how to hearken unto me, and if they would have listened to me and walked in my ways. The Bible talks about walking in his commandments, walking in his counsel. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. The Bible speaks so much about walking with God. We're to walk in total compliance with the Word of God. We're supposed to walk in total compliance with the will of God. We're supposed to walk with total reliance on God's almightiness. I am Almighty God. Walk in my presence. Walk in my face. Walk in my sight. And we are supposed to walk. Don't sit. Don't sit down. Don't run. Just walk with God every day in his presence. In his presence. You know, God is our Father. As believers, we have a Heavenly Father. And I love the way the Bible speaks of God as our Father. Because we've all had earthly fathers, and we've all maybe not been privileged as I have been to take a walk with my Father, or walk along as I did as a child with my Father. But God, as our Father, he is a loving Father. He is a caring Father. He's an almighty Father. But he wants us right here, right there. He wants to be like my Father. Don't go out of my sight. You don't want to go there. You want to stay where I am, where I can protect you, where I can bless you, where I can do some things, where I can see you. And you say, well, that makes God kind of weak. Well, no, that points to a loving relationship and the desire for communication and fellowship with his children. Fathers love their sons and daughters. And folks, we have a loving God, an almighty God, a compassionate God that doesn't want us to stray. Oh, that Israel had hearkened unto my commandments and walked in my ways. Do you think it would have been better for Israel if they had? Oh, it would have been better. Do you think it would have been better for Abraham if he hadn't run ahead from God and said, I'm going to solve this problem. If I'm going to have a nation, if I'm going to have seed, then I'm going to do it this way. And it wouldn't have been so good for Abraham if he'd not gone to Hagar, and if Ishmael hadn't come along. It's kind of like related to what we said this morning. And God's, I don't know, sometimes you look at what God does and says, he looks at you and says, okay, you want that? I'll give it to you. But boy, it's not going to be fun. And to this day, Israel pays for Ishmael, Abraham. And so some tender words of caution when God looked at Abraham and said, listen, I'm almighty. You don't have anything to worry about, but I want you to walk right here with me in my face and be perfect, be without spot, without blemish. And as all men, Abraham failed. But for the grace of God, folks, none of us would be where we are this morning, even worried about being without spot or blemish. Do you realize that? The grace that God gave us in giving us the desire to be without spot or blemish, to be able to walk with God, leave this room, go over there to the loop that I came around. People are going every which way but the right one. The grace of God put us in the right way. And now all he wants from us is to stay with me. Stay close. Stay in my sight. Stay in my sight. Be without spot or blemish. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful, wonderful word and for the examples, Father, that you said in your word that you gave us to be our examples, to teach us. And Father, most of all, we thank you for your loving care over us. Father, we thank you for the untold and countless times that you've delivered us from evil, that you've set us in the right way, and Father, that you've protected us, provided for us. And Father, we know that all of this is due to your love and your grace and your tender mercies. Father, we ask your blessings upon this place, upon this body, Father, as they look for a pastor. And Father, that you would provide that in your timing, in your way, Father, and that we would not stray from the things that you've promised. And knowing that you are almighty, Father, we rest in the arms of those promises. Father, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.